Senate State Affairs, please come to order. It is 9:02 a.m. on the 21st day of January 2016, day number 3 of 90-something of the legislature. We have a quorum, Senator Huggins and Vice Chair Coghill and Senator Willikowski here, and Senator McGuire will not be joining us today. She has announced to her staff that she is ill this morning, so good health and Godspeed to get back to your pressing issues you're pushing, Senator McGuire. We have one bill before us today, and that is Senate Bill 124, sponsored by myself. But given that, I'm going to ask, it's my bill, I'll ask Senator Coghill to, the Vice Chair, to take over the chair, just for protocol, to, and Senator Coghill before you. All right, I'm going to ask, I'll just briefly present the bill. My staff and Ms. Curtis, the auditor, will briefly go through it, and the folks from the Commission on Aging, the Governor's Office, and the folks here testifying have consolidated their testimony, and I believe Ms. Kurt, after my staff, Mr. George briefly presents a bill. It's pretty simple in format. It's an extension for 8 years. Ms. Curtis will give a brief presentation and answer any technical questions, and Mr. Mays will call in. Ms. Daniello will wishes to testify, and there's a request which I hope you will also see to. Ms. Darling, one of our distinguished citizens, and I believe that's been formalized as a distinct person. I don't say a woman of distinction, I say a person of distinction, asked to bat cleanup. So if you'll allow that, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So I will turn it over and then accede to your indulgences of my participation.
So yes, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for that. And so Senate Bill 124 is before us, and how would you want to proceed by doing the introduction?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's an honor to present this bill, the extension of the Alaska Commission on Aging, in its to allow its mission to continue. It's an issue that has a broad constituency among Alaskans. It is a continuation of funding. The extension, and it's an eight-year extension, so I suspect it doesn't currently have a finance referral, but the Finance Committee will review this and other boards and commissions. That it's my hope that it's weighed as a worthy function as we're making the tough decisions on what level of government, and I think they do good work. There were some criticism of the audit, and I think we'll let Ms. Curtis mention those, and I'll at the appropriate time comment on those. So,
yeah, would you like to have
Mr. George?
Why don't you come on up, Mr. George, and then go ahead and present the bill, and then questions from the committee.
Good morning, Senator Coghill, members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Daniel George, staff to Senator Schultz. Thank you for the opportunity to present this morning. Before members is Senate Bill 124. Extension of the Alaska Commission on Aging. The Alaska Commission on Aging was established under Alaska statutes in 1981 pursuant to the Federal Older Americans Act of 1965. This bill is a simple eight-year extension as recommended by the Division of Legislative Audit's 2015 Sunset Review. We do have, as Senator Schultz mentioned, Chris Curtis, the legislative auditor, here with us today to talk about that audit. So beyond the fact that there was an audit and there are two recommendations, I will let her expound upon that. The Commission on Aging reviews state policy. It sets the Alaska State Plan on Senior Services. It does so with an 11-member commission. It has a staff of four and executive director who's with us today. There's a fiscal note attached from the Department of Health and Social Services, and the commission annually fulfills a federal requirement of the Older Americans Act that we have such a commission, and it allows us to apply for federal grant funding. Approximately $11 million annually is what the state receives. There are quite a few support letters in the bill packet. And I know we have several of them online today to testify. At this point, though, since we do have the executive director here and the Division of Legislative Audit, I will be succinct and let them answer any more in-depth questions, unless there are some now.
All right.
Yes, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Daniel, not for today. I would be interesting, though, in the mechanism, particularly if there's a self-adjusting piece based on the change in demographics, all right? I mean, some areas are growing, others are dormant, and on and on. And I know the MATSU has had some difficulty with some programs because, at least from people that present to me, there's some disparity in, you know, how funds are distributed to different areas of the state. We don't need to get a big conversation, but, you know, before we, you know, complete this bill, I'd like to have a conversation about that.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Senator Stoltz, in response to that?
Thank you, and I won't amplify, but I'll just echo Senator Huggins' statement. We are the fastest growing. We're the only district in the state that had student growth population of any significance, 754 new people. Incredible inequity as the MATSU has grown. Formulas, whether it's for behavioral health grants and health and social services, senior services, the MATSU is treated very disparately, and if another area was treated as disparately, there would certainly be a lot of outrage and probably pickets. If we had a Capitol in the MATSU, we'd probably have pickets on the Capitol steps, and that's... But right now, it's a lot of frustration. We could probably delve into that in depth, but it'll be a continuing overall discussion about how perhaps the resources are need to be more fairly divided among Alaskans based on population and need, and not stuck in old formulas that whether it's for this or other health and social services and a lot of other programs. Let our people be treated fairly.
Thank you, Senator Stoltz. It's a true fact that in the fastest growing area of the state, we also have the fastest in the state of Alaska, the fastest growing aging population. So those two become pretty significant, and I would only hope that the commission has taken that to note. So with that, would you prefer Senator Stoltz to have the commission executive director come up first?
I think the audit issue is
one. Yeah, because that gives them a chance to answer that issue. So why don't we go ahead and have the auditor for this legislature come forward and give us the report on the audit, because there was some criticisms that we'll give the commission a chance to answer on. So.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm the legislative auditor representing the Division of Legislative Audit. Our agency did conduct a sunset review of the Commission on Aging. The purpose of a sunset is to determine whether the commission is serving the public's interest and whether it should be extended. Overall, we concluded that the commission is serving the public's interest by helping older Alaskans lead dignified, independent, and useful lives through outreach, advocacy, and education. Further, as Daniel mentioned, the commission does meet a federal requirement that each state establish an advisory council to advise the state on aging matters, including the development of a state plan, the administration of that plan, and operations conducted under the plan. We recommend the maximum extension for this commission of 8 years. We did come up with two recommendations for operational improvements. They're housekeeping type recommendations of just things that we noticed while we were in there that we wanted to recommend improvements for. The first, if you have the audit in front of you, it's on page 7, and it's a recommendation to the executive director to implement and follow procedures to public notice all meetings. We did find, and when we sampled and tested public notices, that not all committee meetings were posted public notices as they should have been. There were two reasons for this. First, just general oversight, staff not following their established procedures. And secondly, staff was not aware that subcommittee meetings were subject to the public notice requirement. So just a general recommendation that we make in many sunset audits just to improve their public noticing. And then secondly, a recommendation to the commission's chairperson to review and approve legislative watch lists prior to distribution. The Commission periodically holds teleconferences to gather public input and discuss legislation affecting seniors, which is one of their objectives. To facilitate this feedback, the Commission annually publishes watch lists to identify legislation of interest to the committee. And when we reviewed these watch lists, we did find a few bills that were not related to the committee's objectives. So we made a recommendation just to ensure the most efficient use of resources that these watch lists be reviewed prior to distribution. And so only two recommendations and a maximum extension recommendation.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple questions. So there's been some issues raised about some maybe regional disparities. Did you find any of that in your audit?
Through the chair, no, we did not pick up on any of that. We looked at general procedures in awarding monies, but not necessarily how much was awarded by each area. We looked more at their operations.
Senator Wilkowski.
On the fiscal note, it's I don't know if you looked into that, whether you thought that was high, low, or just about right. It's $539,700 per year. Is that something that you looked into for the appropriateness?
Through the chair, we do provide in the audit some historical financial information, which might be helpful in evaluating the reasonableness. It's on page 10 of the audit, but I'm going to defer any questions for their current fiscal note to the department.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Yeah, thank you. And you may not be prepared to do it now, but I hope in part of your audit is you reviewed the system for how whatever funds were distributed, what the mechanism is. I would be interested in that, number one. Okay. Number two is as demographics have changed, assuming they have changed, what's the adjustment numbers when you look at that factually over the last 8 years, mm-hmm. if that makes sense? Mm-hmm. And that may be well outside your purview, but I would encourage us to make sure that, you know, we give some thought to that, because ultimately it's about helping people, and we have if the numbers don't jive, then there's some people we're unable to help potentially. And I'm not saying it's just about Mat-Su, it's about any place that demographically, for whatever reason, the system isn't working.
Senator Huggins, through the chair, our approach to the audit, like any audit, is to look at committee minutes to see whether any type of complaints show up and pursue any type of review publications, looking for those issues that we need to follow up. And in this particular audit, the equity of amounts actually given to specific regional areas did not pop up on our radar screen as something to review. We looked at the procedure of developing the state plan, which might address equities and how the monies are given out. We looked at their procedure for getting feedback and whether that feedback was incorporated into their decision process, which we did find was the case. But we did not look specifically.
So what we'll do is provide you some input.
Okay.
I know it's after the fact. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. We're just trying to update the system.
Okay.
As the young lady sitting in the room, Ashton Compton, who will get with you based on, you know, some of the services in our area. And I'm not insinuating we're picked on in Mat-Su or any of that sort of thing. I'm just trying to present constituents' concerns about and give you that information.
Thank you. And that sounds like a possible issue for maybe a broader scale audit, if looking at all programs and how funds are given out. I hear some concerns that might be a worthy audit topic to approach in the global.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. And Chris, one of the other things that was brought up is some of the areas where there's duplicative work across agencies. Was there anything that stood out that could be mentioned at this particular point?
Thank you. Yes, on page 19 of the audit, on page 15 and 16 of the audit, we have sunset criteria number 11, which examines whether there's services being duplicated. And we did find some areas where you have duplications between other areas, such as AARP, the Alaska Geriatric Exchange Network, these agencies share common goals. We looked at how the agencies were working together. And so we do make some comments about that, but the commission does have a specific role, and they do overlap, but they do have some specific, unique missions. Yeah. So we do comment on that.
I just want to bring that up, because I did see that along the way, and at a time in our budgetary history, every effort has to count, and I think there's certainly plenty of work to do in this arena. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
I just want to make sure we're not stacking up where we should be diversifying.
Right.
That's all.
Okay.
So any other questions at this point? We can have the executive director come up. Thank you.
Hey, Bill, I wish you would do that to Daniel. So not
Denise, thank you for coming before us. And then we do have several people to testify as well who are both part of the commission and part of other senior services. So we'll be getting to them briefly. But thank you very much, Denise, for coming for us. Put your name on the record and give us your testimony.
Yes, thank you. So for the record, good morning. My name is Denise Daniello, Executive Director for the Alaska Commission on Aging, and it's my honor to be here to testify in support of Senate Bill 124 and to provide an overview of the Commission's work. So, Senator Coghill, what do you suggest in terms of my testimony? Do you want me to provide a general overview of the Commission's work, or do you want me to address these questions regarding the distribution of funds?
I'll defer to the sponsor of the bill, but my preference would be an overview first,
okay,
and then specific answers. Is that okay with you?
And Mr. Chairman, I think you've heard the question. I think mm-hmm. That's the public and the committee's interest is on the distribution, and that's going to be a global discussion we have through a lot of agencies. I didn't mean to pick a scab just on this one at the first part of session, but and also the two audit the two mild criticisms.
No problem.
That's really part of our function is reflecting and trying to assist you in fixing those to the best possible.
Thank you, Senator. And you get the distinction of being one of the first bills up in the Senate. So we're all ready to go, and you probably will get our enthusiasm plus.
Very good. Thank you so much. So I just wanted to, first of all, thank the Division of Legislative Audit as well in providing the audit for the Commission and for their findings in that they found that the Commission is serving the public's interests by helping older Alaskans lead dignified, independent, and useful lives, which are words from our mission statement, through planning, advocacy, and outreach activities, and that the Commission meets the federal requirement for each state to establish an advisory council to advise the state on aging matters. And that requirement is referenced in the Older Americans Act, Section 306, parentheses A, parentheses 6, parentheses D. And moreover, we want to thank Senator Stoltz for sponsoring this legislation on the Commission's behalf and for Alaska seniors. So the Commission on Aging is an 11-member advisory council whose mission is to ensure the dignity and independence of all older Alaskans and to assist them to lead useful and meaningful lives through planning, advocacy, education, and outreach. The state of Alaska constitutes a single planning and service area under the terms of the Older Americans Act. And as designated by Governor Walker, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services is the sole state agency on aging in Alaska. And the responsibilities of a state agency on aging are carried out jointly in our state by the Division of Senior and Disability Services and the Commission on Aging for senior programs that are funded under the Older Americans Act. While the Division of Senior and Disability Services administers the state and federally funded senior grant programs, the Commission is responsible for developing the four-year state plan for senior services and performing the advocacy and outreach educational activities in collaboration with many partners. And those responsibilities are spelled out in the Older Americans Act for state agencies under Section 305, parentheses A, parentheses 1. So Alaska receives approximately $11 million of federal funding for senior programs and services in this fiscal year, thanks to its compliance with the Older Americans Act. Since the illegal inception of the commission in 1981, which is 34 years ago, the commission has remained committed to assisting older Alaskans gain access to appropriate and quality services to maintain their health and independence so that they may remain in their communities of choosing, living independently for as long as possible, and to be valued and respected for their contributions. The commission provides a focal point in state government for aging issues. The work of the commission is now more important than ever, given the state's rapidly growing population of seniors. According to 2015 population estimates just released by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development, seniors, and this is defined as people aged 60 years and older, and we use that age requirement because that's the age requirement as specified in the Older Americans Act, number 120,444 persons, and that's a 4.2% increase or a gain of 4,902 people from 2014. Seniors represent 16% of the total state population and comprise the fastest growing age demographic in the state. And for the sixth consecutive year, Alaska continues
Mr. Chairman, to be, excuse me.
Yes,
my hearing's not really good. What percentage was it, the seniors?
16%.
16%. Thank you.
Sorry. I should probably speak closer to the microphone. And for the sixth consecutive year, Alaska continues to lead all states by having the fastest growing senior population per capita. The commission has conducted the following activities since our last reauthorization in FY 2008, and I would like to share some of those activities with you. First of all, we're charged with developing a four-year comprehensive Alaska State Plan for Senior Services for the approval by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. In order to satisfy a federal requirement for all states receiving federal funding for senior programs. So the commission has completed three state plans since our last reauthorization. And in June of this year, we just completed the current state plan for FY 2016 through 2019. And you see it here, and I think you also have the electronic version, and I have hard copies too if you would like them. The state plan for senior services is also available online at our website at www.alaskaaging.org. The plan has six goals with 25 corresponding strategies and 48 performance measures, and it also includes a funding formula that describes the distribution of funding for the department's nine regions. The state plan was developed in collaboration with many partners. We had 34 members who served on a state plan advisory committee, and we provided leadership for that committee. The commission also prepares the senior snapshot, and that's published in the commission's annual report. The snapshot is an annual statistical analysis of senior demographics, use of programs and services by seniors. It also reports data on indicators pertaining to senior health, senior housing, senior safety, as well as senior economic security. And we provide a copy of the snapshot, which is included in the annual report every year to the legislature and to the governor. Secondly, the commission provides annual budget and policy recommendations to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority concerning the needs of older Alaskans living with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia, who number this year approximately 6,600. And these are individuals who are age 65 years and older with Alzheimer's disease. This is a very conservative estimate because it doesn't include people with younger onset Alzheimer's disease, and it doesn't include people with dementia who are suffering from other forms of dementia like vascular dementia, frontotemporal dementia, Lewy body dementia, Parkinson's disease, and many others. And if we added all those folks together, we'd probably be closer to 8,000. Alzheimer's disease is a very serious concern for our state because, as I mentioned, Alaska is the state with the fastest growing senior population per capita, and advanced age is the most serious risk factor for Alzheimer's disease, although advanced age in itself is not a cause for Alzheimer's, so I want to make that clear. And we also provide additional information as requested by the trust during at least quarterly to their trustees at board and committee meetings. The Commission, in collaboration with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, the Department of Health and Social Services, and Alaska's Alzheimer's Resource Agency, published Alaska's Roadmap to Address Alzheimer's Disease and Related Dementias. And we provided copies of the roadmap to you last year, and I would be happy to provide other copies to you if you need them. This document is also available on our website at www.alaskaaging.org. The roadmap provides a very comprehensive and coordinated approach to address the multiple and complex challenges that dementia presents to individuals, their families, caregivers, and to Alaska's long-term care system. And the roadmap included for the first time findings from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey that included actual surveillance findings about people in Alaska with perceived cognitive impairment. And this was the first time that we had any surveillance findings about people with perceived cognitive impairment. Thirdly, we make recommendations directly to the governor and the legislature with respect to legislation, regulations, and appropriations for programs and services that benefit older Alaskans. Since our last reauthorization, the commission advocated successfully for the creation of the Medicaid Adult Dental Program, establishment and reauthorization of the Alaska Senior Benefits Program, creation of the statewide alert system for vulnerable older adults, which is also known as the Silver Alert. And we've advocated for several bills to strengthen elder protection and protection of vulnerable adults. Fourthly, the Commission helps older Alaskans lead dignified, independent, and productive lives. We actively encourage participation to inform our public, our policy and public budget recommendations by providing a formal public comment period during each quarterly meeting. We sponsor regular community forums on topics of senior interest and actively ask for senior input on those issues. And we host biweekly statewide legislative teleconferences during session to examine and discuss legislation of interest to seniors. And in recent years, we've made efforts to recognize the many issues that face Alaska's aging population. We coordinated the Power of Aging Symposium, which provided information about senior issues and encouraged senior civic engagement. We also coordinated the Senior Housing Summit, which was the first and only housing summit in Alaska to address senior housing issues specifically. We spearheaded the Senior Fall Prevention Coalition, which was to address falls, which are the number one hospitalized, non-fatal hospitalized injury for seniors. And we also began the Healthy Body, Healthy Brain campaign to raise awareness about the relationship of lifestyle with cognitive health. And we've called attention to the fact that seniors represent a $3 billion industry to the state that doesn't include the countless hours of volunteer and family caregiving, and that seniors greatly appreciate the programs and services they receive, which are critical to their health and well-being and their ability to live in the state. The commission is comprised of 11 members, with 7 of our members being of senior age. And they're appointed by the governor to serve 4-year terms. We also have 4 designated seats, one for the commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services, another for the commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, for a senior service provider, and for the chair of the Pioneer Home Board. And as you know, we have a staff of 4 that includes the executive director, 2 planners, and an administrative assistant. The audit reported 2 findings, as you have heard, by the Division of Legislative Audit, that requires public posting of public meeting notices for all the Commission's board and committee meetings, and secondly, for the Commission's chairperson to review and approve the legislative watch list prior to distribution. The Commission concurs with these findings, and we have amended our policies and procedures to include corrective action strategies, and those have been implemented. And so to address specifically the legislative watch list, we use the legislative watch list a list of legislation of interest to seniors, and when we use that during the legislative teleconferences, we provide updates on those bills and how they're moving. We invite legislators to and their staff to come and talk about those bills, and we also ask for senior input to find out what their opinions are about that legislation. So now our policies and procedures require our chair of the Legislative Advocacy Committee and the chair of our commission to review that watch list prior to its distribution. So, and we will be doing that this session. So pending passage of this legislation, the Commission on Aging will continue to plan, educate, and advocate for programs and services that allow older Alaskans to live with dignity and respect so that they may remain able to live independently for as long as possible in the least restrictive settings, and to assure that seniors remain connected to their family and to their communities. Thank you. And
thank you,
we appreciate your support.
Questions at this point? Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Denise, thanks for the overview. I'm going to use the term senior longevity bonus. Does that fall under your purview of at least monitoring? I mean, I know that it's antiquities now, I suppose. Could you give us a 60-second or less burst on the meandering and what the program looks like today so we all are up to speed?
Surely. Thank you for that question through the chair, Senator Coghill. Senator Huggins. The Senior Benefits Program is currently administered by the Division of Public Assistance. It came into being, I think it was in FY 2008, and it is a cash assistance program for seniors aged 65 years and older who meet the income threshold. It has three tiers for three different levels of income up to 175% of federal poverty level. The senior benefit program followed the senior longevity bonus. The senior longevity bonus was in place. It provided, I believe it was a $250 a month benefit to people aged 65 years and older. And I believe there was a relationship, there was a connection, and it could be wrong, my memory's not always perfect, that connected to a person's, a senior's residency, the number of years living in Alaska. And for that reason, there was a lot of conversation that that may not be fair, and the senior benefits program came into being. I think the longevity bonus is still on in state statute, but it's not funded. The Senior Benefits Program is the program that is operating today.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for
yes,
follow-up. So I was in Fred Meyer's buying all my necessities for Juneau here recently, and I was checking out, and I saw a little note at the cash register. It was about seniors, and evidently Juneau revoked or did something to, there was an exemption for sales tax for seniors. Did you get much? You know, we're in tough times, and I'm not critiquing Juneau. It's just I read that. But do you get, I mean, you live in Juneau, right?
Yes.
Do you get much feedback on those kind of issues since you live in Juneau and the commission? And should we be thinking about that, or not that we could do anything about it, but, you know, at least awareness?
Yes. Thank you for that question, yep. Senator Huggins, through the chair. we have received comments about the senior sales tax exemption, and I think I'm going to defer to Marie Darlin, who is here, who has been more actively involved with that. That is something that the Juneau Commission on Aging has been involved with. You know, I think there are opinions on both sides of the issue. Bless you. You know, seniors have a fixed income, and financial security, economic security, we found to be the number two most pressing issue for Alaska seniors based on responses that we received from the senior survey. That was one of the needs assessment activities we did for the current state plan on senior services. It's an important issue, and people are concerned about it. However, I think seniors do recognize that it takes everybody pitching in together to resolve the budget situation. So, and communities, you know, need help too.
Mr. Chairman, one Senator Huggins, yes. If I might, Pioneer Homes, 30 seconds or less. Feedback on, I assume that someplace at least information flow because that's seniors. I'm advocating for my peers, I might add. Is there anything that we should be aware of that's been drawn to your attention about seniors in Pioneer Home?
You anxious to hear from Bert Hall?
Yeah.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, the commission really appreciates the high quality of service that are provided to the residents of the Pioneer Homes. We've heard a lot of positive feedback about the care that residents receive. Know too that there is current discussion about the possible privatization of the Pioneer Homes, and this is an issue that will be discussed during the Commission's next board meeting, which is February 8th through the 11th, and you're welcome to join us or to call in however you would like. On Monday, February 8th at 3 o'clock, we gavel in, and we'll be having a joint meeting with the Pioneer Home Advisory Board as well as AgeNet, and we have asked the Pioneer Home Advisory Board to provide us an overview of the history of the Pioneer Homes and also where we stand right now in terms of the future of the Pioneer Homes. So one thing I think that we want to see is to make sure that the level of service continues.
Yep. Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and appreciate the discussion of Pioneer Homes. As I obviously, it's something we have to talk a lot about more, because when the governor convened an assemblage of representative Alaskans, as I understand it, the only two things they said they can cut from the budget were two items in Palmer: close the Pioneer Home in Palmer and close the Division of Agriculture. And those were that was all the fat that the governor's handpicked folks could find in the budget was to close down. And it was kind of baffling to me. And certainly, we are willing from our area to share the pain and everything, but when I hear other proposals that have been assembled of representative Alaskans, I just wonder if they're going to be as global and responsive. But it really baffled me that the only fat that the governor's handpicked people could find in the budget was the Palmer Pioneer Home and the Division of Agriculture. So both in Palmer and I'm not really paranoid, and it really isn't paranoia if they're out to get you. You just call it healthy precaution. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Point well taken. Any other questions at this point for Denise? Denise, thank you very much. Very thorough presentation. We're going to go to some public testimony at this point, and I'm going to go to the off-net for those who are in Palmer and Anchorage. We have Rachel Greenberg from the Executive Director, Senior Services. Are you there with us, Rachel?
I am here.
Please go ahead and give us your testimony, and this is concerning the Alaska Aging Commission sunset date.
Thank you, Senator Coghill, and thank you, Senator Stoltz, and Senator Huggins and Senator Wilikowski, for allowing me to testify. And for full disclosure, it's Rachel Greenberg. I'm the Executive Director of MATSU Senior Services, and I also serve in the provider seat on the Commission on Aging, and I am also Vice President of AgeNet and Vice President of Aging, and I also sit on the Coalition of MATSU Senior Centers. And all of the aforementioned organizations support the continuance of the Alaska Commission on Aging. It's the statewide agency that really looks out for all seniors all over Alaska. Not only are they responsible for the state plan for senior services and developing that allows us access to the Older Americans Act funding, but they also are a participant in the White House Council on Aging, which happens only once every 10 years. And they create that senior snapshot. One thing that I do want to mention is that in the past, the Commission on Aging used to be the distribution of funding way back when it was under the Department of Administration. The Commission on Aging develops the funding formula, but they don't actually distribute the funds. That's actually done through the Division of Senior and Disability Services. And I know that there's been a lot of discussion about the disparity of the distribution of funds, and if
Rachel,
I can quickly talk about that.
Rachel?
Go ahead.
Senator Huggins wanted you to repeat something. I think he didn't quite catch that. Senator Huggins, could you just ask a question?
Yeah, Rachel, Charlie Huggins, I apologize. My hearing is not perfect. Could you go back through all you said after funding?
Yes. Way back when the Alaska Commission on Aging was first formed back in 1982, up until the time when Governor Murkowski moved and revamped how the distribution of funds is done, the Alaska Commission on Aging identifies the funding formula in the State Plan for Senior Services, but the actual distribution of funds is done by the Division of Senior and Disability Services.
Thank you.
You bet. The distribution of funds the State Plan for Senior Services is developed every 4 years. And so a lot of the disparity is actually coming from within the region and not necessarily the funding formula itself, although the funding formula in this particular plan that's been published is still up for discussion. That was one of the things that was put in the state plan because it was something that we really ran out of time to fully develop. And I have to commend the commission for putting those comments in the state plan to really take a hard look at how that funding formula is looked at. So with that, I just want to encourage and support the passage of this bill. So thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Is there any other questions?
Just a point of personal regional bragging.
All right.
I just want to commend, I think, the two finest members on this commission are from Palmer. Rachel, Ms. Greenberg, is one of the most energetic people I've ever run into, and with a passion and all their experience. She doesn't look old enough to have all that experience. And then we have a distinguished member. She was a member of this body in the Senate, a Mat-Su Borough mayor, and an assembly person, and a current member of the Palmer Council. And she could have served on a lot of boards and commissions, but she opted to serve on this Alaska Commission on Aging. And I have a struggle to always remember what the name of it is. It's been through so many iterations. But Rachel, thank you, and the other member from Palmer, and that served so diligently on this. There's other good members, but I wanted to talk about the cream of the crop, and thank you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel, and bragging duly noted. We'll go down through the testimony. We have from Anchorage, David Levy of the Anchorage Municipal Senior Centers at Seniors Citizens Advisory, I think. David, are you up?
Mrs. Chairman, yes, I am.
Put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Levy, and I am the Senior Services Coordinator for the Municipality of Anchorage. In that capacity, I also provide staff support for the Municipality of Anchorage's Senior Citizens Advisory Commission, and it is in that capacity that I'm going to speak here briefly today. The Anchorage Senior Citizens Advisory Commission is a commission appointed by the mayor of Anchorage and confirmed by the assembly to look at and provide recommendations and strategies to improve senior services within the municipality. The commission has taken a position at our last monthly meeting to support the reauthorization of ACOA. They have been a great partner of ours in terms of providing senior services and promoting senior services, not only in Anchorage, but in around the state. We have worked with them very closely on a number of projects here that Denise talked about earlier. And specifically, we've also worked closely with them in doing some outreach in and around the Anchorage area. Last fall, we had the opportunity to do a joint program in the community of Girdwood to find out what some of the challenges that they were dealing with in regarding senior services in Girdwood and surrounding communities. So most of my comments are in the letter that was sent to Senator Stoltz. So we'd be happy to answer any questions, but we strongly support the ACOA's mission and their vision, and would encourage the Senate to approve their reauthorization.
Thank you, Mr. Levy. Apologies for mispronouncing your name. Any questions?
No, sir. No problem, sir.
Thank you very much, and we'll move on to Gordon Glasser, with the Senior Commission in Anchorage. Gordon?
Thank you. To the chair of the committee, Mr. Stoltz, and the acting chair, Mr. Caldwell, and members of the Senate, thank you for this opportunity to speak in front of you. My name is Gordon Glasser. I'm probably the newest member on the Aging Commission. I'm the past president of the Anchorage Senior Activity Center, still a board member, and speaking of that hat for a moment, we wrote a letter of support because we feel this is a very important commission. Speaking of the hat of the commission, I want to echo some of the words that Rachel said earlier. I don't have relevance or experience, but I certainly share enthusiasm. This commission is one of the few commissions which provides a two-way street where members of the Asian community and have a chance to have another forum, and we are able to also enable them to help them with the right direction and also provide feedback both to you and to the administration. I realize this is really difficult times. I would say I don't see no duplication between us and AARP or HNET. I think we're complementary, but I certainly wouldn't say they're duplicate. And to put it directly, this is a state function, and one that fills our federal requirements, while the other two would not. But it's certainly valuable. I also want to say something. As a member of this community, the consumer, that I think we also provide a resource to the state. To put it directly, we provide a great deal of funds to the state in terms of $2 billion. When I look at our volunteer population, many of them are of the Asian community. And if you look nationally, and I don't know really particularly in Alaska, but we look at contributions charitable contributions, 42% on a national level of people of the Asian population. So I think we are a resource as well as a group that has needs. I think we look at the, to put it directly, those programs which will, as we face a growing population here, provide alternatives and solutions. Speaking as one individual, I really think while the best way to reduce the need for housing is to have those prevention programs so people are able to age in place. And because all our data indicates there is a greater need, and anything we can slow people having to use one of those assisted facilities, I think is a strength. Again, I want to take the opportunity to speak to you. I think this commission provides a valuable service and works well, plays well with others that are working on the same issues, and I look forward to being on the commission and happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Gordon. Any questions at this point? We're going to move on. I've got two more to testify, but I just wanted to let people know that we have Dwayne Mays from the Department of Health and Social Services that's available, and Mary Shields from the Commission on Aging that's available. We do have Amanda Lofgren with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and then we'll have Marie Darlin come up after that. So, Amanda, any public testimony at this point?
Yes, thank you. For the record, my name is Amanda Lofgren. I'm with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of the reauthorization of the Alaska Commission on Aging. The trust supports programs, services, and policies that positively impact the lives of our beneficiaries, who include Alaskans with mental health, substance abuse, traumatic brain injury, and particularly Alzheimer's disease and related dementia. The Commission on Aging is actually a recognized board advisory in our statute, Alaska Statute 47.30.41, to advise the Board of Trustees on needs of older Alaskans with cognitive impairments. The Commission is a huge partner to the Trust and other organizations and agencies, and together, over the last couple of years, we've published and continue to oversee the implementation of Alaska's first roadmap to address Alzheimer's disease and related dementia. The Commission also, at our quarterly meetings and annually, makes budgetary and programmatic recommendations to our Board of Trustees on how to use our resources to improve the benefits of senior population. In addition to the requirements for developing and implementing the state plan for senior services, which is required by the U.S. Administration on Aging, it's a huge asset to our state and really guides how services are delivered through the resource allocations and the planning. The Commission on Aging is an invaluable partner to the Trust, and we see the importance of their role as we continue to have the fastest growing senior population in the nation, but also as we see the successes of the home and community services many of our beneficiaries receive, they're also now aging and we're needing to prepare to have the best services in place for them. So without any additional comments, I just want to thank you and really appreciate the work of the Commission on Aging, and the Trust is very supportive of their reauthorization. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Loughran. Senator Stoltz?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank the Trust. Probably about every 2 years we do a very comprehensive tour with our partners in delivering senior services to the Mental Health Trust, and we did the last one in 2014 touring the Chugiak, Wasilla, Palmer senior facilities and some other and other visits in between, and that is a growing beneficiary growth for the Mental Health Trust, and I appreciate the partnership and the willingness of not just staff but the trustees that have invested time to come out and see the on-site facilities, and we're going to be doing that again, and we have a very large participation. It's probably second only to a scope and size to our agricultural tours we do every year in interest, and it's I appreciate that we have a partner like the Mental Health Trust, and that our the senior beneficiaries are part of their mission. So it's looking forward to continued involvement, and it's that's been part of my outreach, is bringing those agencies together, and that's where you get better understanding, efficiencies, and a lot of good ideas. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And it's another point well taken. So we do have Dwayne Mays and Mary Shields that are available for questions. I thought before I brought Marie Darlin up, if there was anything from the committee at this point. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm one of those that know that the state is concerned and compassionate and has a number of programs that seniors benefit from, but I don't know what they all are. And the one I probably know the most about is old guy hunting and fishing license, right? I have one of those. But it would help me if one, a reference where I go to see that, so when I'm talking to people I can mention to things that are out there if they may not be aware of it, or a semi-laundry list, for lack of a better term, of things that the state does in consideration of senior citizens.
You send that to the committee and we'll distribute it, and I think everybody will want to distribute something like that. I'm sorry, I forgot. Yeah. I wasn't chair.
Yeah, no, as a sponsor of the bill, I'd say that's a good response, so thank you. I'll be glad to see that. Marie Darlin's been here as a not only a citizen of distinction, but as a representative of AARP. Marie, if you want to come up and give testimony.
Good morning, and thanks for this opportunity and for starting your session out with this bill. AARP, which I'm representing right now at this moment, and I talked with their office this morning to let them know that, you know, I would be here. You also have their letter of support, which came some time ago. And I won't bother going through that, which I never do because you're capable of reading it as much as I am. So I just want to mention a couple of different points. But AARP really, you know, has been privileged to be one of those that has worked with the Alaska Commission on Aging now for many, many years. And on all different kinds of projects and different things that we get involved with. And when I say we, that means because I'm also on the Commission on Aging. I happen to be the legislative chair this year, so you'll be hearing from the legislative committee, but we're the committee that watches all the legislation up here. So with that, we just do appreciate from AARP the opportunity to work with both the staff and the different commissioners on this commission, and feel that it's really a very important part of the state's, overall administration of senior issues and so forth. And so we do appreciate the fact that they have reached out and are really attempting to hear from people throughout the whole state. And we also encourage all of our seniors to come to senior centers to be able to then provide their input into our legislative teleconferences that we have every 2 weeks until the last month. And so anyway, I don't need to repeat everything you've already heard, that we're the fastest growing 65-plus demographics in the nation. And also for veterans, a lot of different things that were first, some of which, of course, we are not all that proud of, but nevertheless, for seniors, we do pretty good. And so we just want to support this bill to the full extent because they are the effective advocates then for the seniors in our state. And we do want to keep them here, and they do want to stay here. So that takes care of that. Now you want to hear about the senior sales tax exemption for Juneau.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Well, that could be quite a long story, but I'll show you. Actually, the city has some of the same problems the state has because some of our money, of course, comes from the state also. So what that's going to be this year, we do not know yet. But in looking ahead to the future, the city knew that we've got to look at several different ways of taking care of what the city's responsibilities are. And the early part of 2015, they appointed a committee to look at all tax exemptions, not just the senior ones, but all the tax exemptions that the city gave. And so they made some adjustments on some of those, which included everything from, you know, allowing everybody in Southeast Alaska, if they came here, to have the tax exemption. And as we looked around, too, which we had over the years, and I say that because at times I was a member of the Juneau Commission on Aging, found that every city who had a senior sales tax exemption had different kinds of sideboards they put on them as to whether or not that senior was going to be eligible. And so they looked at all of those, but they spent several months with discussions and information from the public on what we were going to do about the senior sales tax exemption and how it could be modified. And the Juneau Commission on Aging, which I had not been on for some time then, they had their recommendations that they made because they are only advisory to the assembly. And the outcome then was that they're going to allow seniors to still keep their food exemption if it follows that of what is used to be the WIC list for food, only certain types of things within a grocery store, let's say. And they met with both the grocery stores, with everybody in town, to try and look at this to see what it was going to mean. But they did come out then with the final decision that it would be allowed only for those types of foods for seniors. And that is all that card now gives you exemption for. It was done with a lot of thought, a lot of work, many hours, at which I sat through a lot of those committees too, to see, you know, how we were going to tackle this particular part of that tax exemption. And that's what the result is. So now that's what you're hearing about, and that's what you're now getting kind of different answers at times at the stores as to whether or not they, because we know down south they do have computer programs which do exactly that, tell you exactly which groceries are going to be exempt and which are not, or which ones are going to be taxed. Depends on how that particular state handles it. Nevertheless, here they have made the decision that that's what they're going to use, is going to be that federal listing of groceries then that are tax exempt, otherwise they are not. And how the different stores are handling it, because this is still fairly new for them, is up to them to decide. Some stores are separating the groceries out from other things, and some are not. So you can hear all kinds of discussions and maybe all kinds of answers as you go to the stores here as to whether or not that applies.
Thank you.
And I think that covers my testimony then, unless you have any questions.
Any questions? Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate Ms. Darling's participation throughout the process. One of the most delightful testifiers, even when she might be mad at us, she's delightful. And I can only say I'd like to be, my wish is I'd like to be half as sharp, as energetic as she is, should I be blessed to reach her age, but I think I'm already there.
No, you're not quite.
I'm half as sharp and half as energetic.
Well,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I do want to say we fully support this bill.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate your time and effort and your testimony.
Right. Thank you.
We come to the end of the testimony. Was there any questions for any of the department folks? Senator Stoltz, do you want to go ahead and bring this up for a motion? Do you want to hold it over for one more time?
I think we're ready to move it. The real issue is I think the Finance Committee needs to get these bills reformed, and they're going to make the tough decisions.
And just for you as a sponsor, I'm going to ask one question that goes up to the Finance.
But Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
On the fact sheet that we got, I'll point it out to you later, but the interagency receipts that include federal money, I was just wondering what the blend was, and that's something that will probably fall its way up to the Finance Committee. So we don't need to answer it now, but it's something that will it's a question mark left dangling. So
and Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure, Daniel, did we get the fiscal note yet? It's, I'll move the fiscal, but it's really we know what the numbers are. It's been elaborated. It's 537.
You want to make the motion?
But, so I just want to acknowledge that. I would like to just make a comment, if I might, before
sure.
I move that.
Mr. Stoltz, Senator Stoltz.
It's an honor to carry this bill. It is a continuation of funding, and certainly we'll have that discussion with our constituents. I think this is, it has the link to federal requirements, and I think it's one that probably has a good link in helping us continue to deliver services, the things that probably the number one day-to-day issue is to watch out for that NTS number, which is our nutrition and our Meals to Wheels, which is a combination of both nutrition and daily welfare checks for a lot of our remote seniors on the route. So it's for me, that's one of my top priorities. I think it's a pretty efficient way to have a unobtrusive, a real friendly encounter and watch people as the help guide seniors or watch provide them assistance without being overbearing. The simple as bringing the meals by, and that's often part of the welfare check and continued contact. And probably one of the more efficient and effective ways we do those kind of outreaches. And I know it's a big deal, and I appreciate that the Mat-Su Valley has seen the budget crunch coming, and they don't have turf wars. They've consolidated their services, and it's a really refreshing approach that they've taken, not looking at this is we got to protect our funding and our positions. That they see the roadmap ahead, and they have seen it, and we're working on consolidating to serve all. That's the way Senator Huggins and I represent the Valley. It's without borders. We have senators without borders. We're not going to get the glamour of doctors without borders, but that's the way we try to represent the Valley. People, those are arbitrary lines, and it's same with senior issues. They're all across our district. And I also want to acknowledge it's a real honor. A member from Juneau was the original sponsor of this bill. His politics and mine aren't a lot on alike on a lot of things, but Mike Miller, I think he's still a fairly active senior in this community, and was a prominent member of this body representing the capital city, and was the original sponsor of the bill, and co-sponsor was a freshman representative from Sitka, Mr. Grusendorf's father, and a lot of folks that were prominent members were started this. I believe the when it was the older Alaskans Commission, I think. I'd be remiss if I didn't. One of my dearest friends who's passed away, Bob Kallenberg, who was very active in senior issues, and he was active in a lot of issues. He was on the board of game in the 30s and 40s and active in senior issues, and he was preparing these economic analysis of the income impact on seniors on the economy, only he did it with a number two pencil on a yellow notepad and without a lot of the fanfare we see now, but they're the same numbers and the same insightful economic impact and analysis, only just amplified as the importance of seniors remaining in Alaska and providing for them. Growing up in Alaska, as Senator Coghill did, probably he and I were unique among a lot of folks that we had our grandparents living here, and it was not just one but two. And I'm glad that's not such an aberration anymore. For people, there's a quality of life and a family value of having grandparents and having a facilitating it. Most seniors I know don't need or want a hand up. They don't think they're old. They're more likely to be volunteers, but there are some that do need assistance, and they're the minority actually. But most seniors I know are some of the most active volunteers, and if you call them a senior or call them old, we'll be tied to you for doing that. And that's and they are a part of helping us deliver these services. We see that the active seniors, and I eat probably more lunches at senior centers than I do at restaurants. And it's a great place, even if it's not in your district. You have a lot of interesting conversations, and they're not shy about sharing their opinions about any pertinent issues and a lot of knowledge. So, sorry about editorializing a little bit. That's why I'm supporting a bill that's continuing to funding even in this climate we're in, Mr. Chairman. I want to deliberate that. With that, I'd like to move the bill out of the committee with the attached fiscal note with individual recommendations of the. Do we close public testimony first?
I have not closed public testimony, but. Is there anybody that at this point wants to testify? You can hold up the bill. Continue the motion.
With that, I'd restate the motion. I move that House Bill, or Senate Bill 124? be moved, and its attached fiscal note be advanced from this committee with individual recommendations of committee members.
Any objection to moving Senate Bill 124 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note? Hearing none, the bill moves. Is there any other order of business? Yeah. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might, in 60 seconds or less, we just had the privilege of what I have, quite frankly, on a daily, weekly, is Bill Stoltz can roll through a Rolodex of history of how things came about just like that. And, you know, so pick his brain when you get a chance, because he's good at it, and he's that's what makes him doubly value to anybody's end. Number two, Mr. Chairman, there's a senior rally in Wasilla this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It will be at Wasilla High School. It's a Wasilla High School Hockey Club fundraiser. It's called a gun show. And when you look across those tables, it's senior citizens across those tables, and as a super number that they're buying guns or ammo or trading and the knives or wanting to get a sharpening stone, they're seniors. And for those of my friends that are seniors that aren't there, I'm normally there, and there and other gun shows. I won't be there this weekend, but I wish them the best. And for those that are listening that are seniors or not seniors, this Saturday and Sunday, Wasilla High School, Hockey Booster Club fundraiser. Thank you.
Goes a long way.
Mr. Chairman, after the bills move from committee, can I make one other?
Yes, actually, I'm going to hand the gavel back over to the chairman.
Thank you, Chairman Coghill. And we're doing local valley advertisements. In addition to the 32nd annual gun show fundraiser held at a public school, and I know that nobody from Juneau faint or from Anchorage, the 32nd annual gun show, it's a benefit for the Wasilla Hockey Program, athletes and their families helping themselves. And there are a lot of seniors there. And and I think they'll be very shocked that Senator Huggins isn't at the gun show, because he doesn't miss too many of them. And the day before that at Palmer, there's a steak feed for the Palmer Honor Society. Young Haley Hansen, the junior class president, is organizing that. It's an auction and fundraiser at the Palmer Moose Lodge. And I don't know, I guess we can do this.
Keep going.
I'm sure the Ethics Committee will tell me if I've done too much. But it's great opportunities, young students from the Valley helping themselves, whether it's the hockey program at the Wasilla Gun Show on Saturday and Sunday, or the steak feed in auction, and just good things happening in the Valley. And for members of the committee, and we've moved out our first bill. I talked to Vice Chair Coghill. It was our intent to have to jump right into the crime bill next week. I believe you're not quite ready with your sponsor substitute, and the governor invited me up to the office yesterday, and he asked if we could prioritize hearing his permanent fund dividend appropriations bill. I think the attorney general calls it something else, but I mean it is an appropriations bill. So we are going to, and there's one individual that was only available this week, so we will change our order. We'll jump in and hold those, and it's that is the focal point of this session, is discussion of our budget. So we're privileged to start that discussion here in this committee with an official bill, and it's our intent to have very comprehensive hearings on those. And I don't think we'd have those without also discussing Senator McGuire's bill as well, and other options as well. And it's, I want to forewarn you, we only have a couple hours a week to deal with all the issues. I am going to ask the indulgence of committee members in order, this is an issue of both specific and broad interest to all Alaskans. So I'm going to ask your indulgence to have some evening meetings to allow Alaskans to participate when Senator Huggins and I have constituents that are commuting 100 miles a day, and they just can't come to an 8 a.m. meeting. They're out trying to keep our economy alive and pay their mortgages. So I want to recognize, and we have a ton of lobbyists that have flooded the building on this, and they certainly have something to say on behalf of their interests, and our citizens have, I want to even have a greater deference to making sure the citizens of Alaska are active participants to the greatest ability they have to participate. It's not difficult when you've done a 100-mile commute and you've got to make dinner for the kids. But there are Alaskans that are anxious to participate in this, and evening meetings are the only way. So I just wanted to forewarn, I'm going to ask for some of your time because I think it would be a deficient process without that active participant of working Alaskans from all across the state. Senator Huggins? Any other comments? With that, I appreciate. I hope everything else goes as smooth. and as enjoyable as this first meeting. Thank you all members for being here and your participation. We had a good dialogue on an important issue. And thank you, everybody. And with that, we will stand in adjournment.